Well, that was a pretty major amount of chutzpah on Daniel's part today. Walking into Belshazzar's feast and laying into the king, letting him know in no uncertain terms that he is, to paraphrase the original Hebrew, toast. Your days have been numbered. Your kingdom's days have been numbered. You have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. Your kingdom will fall and will be divided. Hard words, painful to hear, but dangerous to say. Of course, the book of Daniel as a whole is a collection of fables and apocalyptic visions, all hanging together around this character of Daniel, a mythic character who is one of the exiles in Babylon. It's a collection of writings of different stories which date from around the 2nd century BCE. And that which refer to events around the 6th century BC. The core message seems to be that just as Daniel is repeatedly saved from his enemies, so will Israel be saved from those who afflict and oppress them. A philosophy eloquently summed up perhaps by Sunny Kapoor, manager of the best exotic Marigold Hotel. It will be all right in the end, and if it's not all right, it's not the end. And thanks to the internet for letting me know that the original author is unknown, but it was made popular, that quote, by John Lennon, and referred to also by Paul Kohler. So we have here in today's story this repeated theme of God's will of salvation and the restoration of Israel's fortunes. Both in these experience of Daniel and that of other faithful Jews, such as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and the visions that follow on from chapter 7. And yet, with the fabulous nature of these stories, we still have this one core value that runs as a thread through all of them: remaining faithful no matter what the surroundings. Speak the truth, no matter what the danger. And that's Daniel's role in this feast, to speak the truth, to point out the king's folly and God's retribution for the misuse of temple vessels, to speak truth to power. And on this Reign of Christ Sunday, we are reminded that this is the calling of the church. To speak the truth and to speak out against all that oppresses or dehumanizes. To oppose the religion of empire and to promote the love-filled, justice-bringing reign of God. As I've said before, I think reign rather than kingdom is a better word to use. So that we don't get into the idea that God is anything like a human king, namely male and patriarchal, that somehow this kingdom is a place rather than a way of being that we inhabit, a grace-filled, healing-bringing state lived by all those who share God's gracious spirit of love. But there is a hard truth that we as the church need to hear too, and indeed that we as the church need to speak, that we as an institution have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. We may well see our days numbered, certainly in the form that we live in now, and that division, more often by choice and inability to live graciously with one another, is our all too frequent destiny. We must confess, lived into being the religion of empire, defiling our sacred vessels by feasting at the tables of colonialism and capitalism and the love of power over our calling to service. In our gospel reading for this evening, another story of mythic proportions, we have an example of a young person who gives all they have to serve the needs of the many. My high school religious teacher said that he believed the young boy's actions in giving the loaves and fishes for all was enough to shame everyone else into getting their brown bag lunch out of their pockets and handing them around. And the miracle there is changed hearts rather than a magical provision for everyone. I think that's a great interpretation and definitely one I want to stick with. Whatever the basis to that story that we heard this evening, which was significantly shorter, and thank you very much, Karen, for getting through both of those readings tonight. But it is a story that's about transformation, and one that shows provision is possible by God's grace when we give of ourselves to one another. It is indeed a story that invites us to transformation, to looking to one another over dedication to institution, power, control, or influence, no matter how benign the church may think its influence is. The colonial structures and unquestioned racism, the abuse of many, and belief in white European cultural superiority have only shown how easy it is for the church to collude in oppression, in abuse and genocide, actual and cultural genocide. So indeed, I think we need to hear that we as a church have been found wanting, and we will continue to be as we seek to unravel our ties to and deep acceptance of colonialism and patriarchy, recognizing that in life and death, Jesus challenged the religion of empire and was ultimately killed by the powers of empire, and continues to defy those powers in the triumph of resurrection, refusing to allow death the final word. The opportunity the church has in this feast day of the reign of Christ reminds us of is to put the subversive, worldview challenging Christ at the heart of all that we do and how we do it and why we do it, as the institution that is the church is again called to faithfulness in living the values of healing, of justice, of grace, love, and affirmation that Jesus called his followers and those who were to come after too. Whatever the fate of the church as we know it, may we learn to remain faithful to those values at the heart of the reign of Christ. Amen.